Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
Okay, so let's try this again. Gary asked me to speak again. When he asked me, I figured I didn't offend too many people last time, so we'll get it going again. So, not offending people, just trying to speak again. I don't want to do that. So if the Bible does that, that's between you and God. So I'll let you guys figure that out. But, you know, Angelo was on vacation this whole week and picked songs out in the ocean, you know, not knowing what I was speaking on. And, you know, it's amazing how God just works through all that. And, you know, just the stuff you need to hear just comes through. So, my message today is, I'm going to take this out because I don't need it. I'm not sure why I'm here. So my message today is the impact on the world because of our worship. You know, as I was preparing this, you know, I was like, okay, God, what do you got for me? What do you got for me? What do you got for me? You know, I was praying, you know, what he was gonna do through this, and he brought worship into my mind. And not just worship where we're up here playing music and singing and having a good time, but a whole life dedicated to worship. And that is not just playing, but it's loving God so much that you don't let the distractions of this world keep you away from that. So, you know, I was thinking about what it's all about, what's it look like in action. How do I know if I'm even doing it right? You know, that's. So I'm going to start by reading a kind of a short summary I found, kind of stuck out to me. Then we'll pray, and then we'll get into our text. So what I found is, worship of God involves acknowledging and celebrating His power and perfection in gratitude. It is seen as a way to honor God through every action, whether in personal devotions, church gatherings, or daily activities, reflecting a life dedicated to bringing Him glory. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into our text. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this opportunity to be here today, Lord. Just thank You for everybody who's here. Lord, just pray that You would just be with us throughout this and kind of look at a couple examples of worship in action. And not just one thing, but Lord, it led to many, many things. So I pray You just be with us today and just help be with me as I speak today, Lord. Just work through me in Jesus' name, amen. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Acts chapter 16. So this is kind of a familiar passage. We're going to start in verse 25, but where Paul and Silas are thrown in prison again. Seems like a theme for Paul. You know, different things happening and him being thrown into prison. But this one here, I started reading through it, and every time I read through it, I got something else out of it. Just multiple layers of things. And I want to kind of bring that to you today. So we're going to start and kind of read through to the end, and then I'm going to kind of break it down through that. So Acts chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 25. And I'm reading out of the NLT. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here." So I want to kind of stop there real quick. So I got a couple points I want to bring up first. So first off, Paul was thrown in prison because, does anybody remember what he did that he was thrown in prison for in this section? But what did he do that got him thrown in prison? He basically told an unclean spirit to come out of a slave woman. So the slave owners didn't like that, so they said, well, we're just going to throw him in prison. So he was shackled, put in the innermost parts of the prison. But number one, they worshiped God while they were in prison. Now, for I mean, I'm going to say it out right. I don't know if I, you know, when I'm in prison, I'm like, I want to get out. You know, I'm not going to say the last thing on my mind is worshiping God, because it won't be, but I'm going to do what I can to get out of there. But Paul was worshiping, Paul was singing, Paul was praying. You know, even though they'd been beaten, even though they were thrown in prison with their feet shackled, they sang hymns and prayed. Their praise in such a bad situation also caused those around them to take notice and to listen. So if you remember the part of the text that says they were singing praise and everybody else in the prison was listening. You know, I've got a quick story. So when I go places, you know, I'm not the biggest social butterfly in the world. You know, I'm pretty introverted, but sometimes when I go somewhere, I just want to get my thing and leave. So I put on my leave me alone face, you know, put my hat down a little bit and just kind of, you know, walk. But usually God does not let that slide with me. He usually brings something along that removes that leave me alone face. So one time we were over in Hartville, I believe over at the thrift shop over there. And I noticed they had a big section of books, and I'm a history buff, so I like World War II history and different things like that. So I'm over in the books looking for something. And I kept seeing this guy just kind of walking behind me. Then he'd go around, then he'd come back the other way and walk. I'm like, oh no, he's going to talk to me. And he did. And we stand there probably half hour talking. And, you know, I heard some of the most heartbreaking stuff I've ever heard from somebody about his family, about his kids, about his parents. And it just, you know, it kind of brought them up. You know what? We should be open and available to anybody. Nobody has it all together. But when God brings a situation in your life, brings somebody who just needs to talk, needs someone to listen to them, be open to it. His name was Tim. I remember that. So I prayed for him, shook his hand, and you know, it was, you know, that leave me alone face was gone, and you know, it impacted me quite a bit too, because you know, I was able to just be there for somebody, even though I didn't know him. I didn't know him from Adam, but you know, it was great. So Paul and Silas were not afraid to be open to anybody, even those people in the prison. So we're going to move on to the next chapter. So suddenly there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. So there's a couple cool things that happened in this. So God heard their praises. God heard their worship. And he's like, okay. Earthquake, jail's open, chain's gone, free to go. But what? So the amazing thing here is what Paul didn't do. What didn't Paul do here? Didn't leave. Now, some of us would have said, adios, and hightailed it out of that prison. Okay, God saved me. That's all there was to it. You know, he just wanted me free. But there was more. But we see where Paul is so in tune with God, because he loved God with his whole heart. He knew that there was something else that needed to be done. And God was not done in that situation. So we know from Scripture that the Lord inhabits our praises. When we praise him, he draws near, or his presence is closely connected to the act of praise. And his presence sets the captive free. So we're going to go to the next portion and kind of see the fruit of that whole scenario. So verse 27 says, the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. So back then, the prison guard was completely in charge of prisoners. So had they escaped, he'd probably been put to death, more than likely been put to death. But Paul shouted, don't kill yourself. We are all here. So the jailer called for the lights, rushed in and trembled before Paul and Silas. And then the next verse, verse 30 says, he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So that example of Paul just being open and willing to just put himself out there, trust God so much, that not only did God open the jail cells, but a person got saved. So not only was this man's life saved physically, but it was also saved spiritually. So we may never know the impact our worship may have on others. At times it can convict and lead to salvation when the seeds that are planted are watered by God. Or like in the example of the jailer, it was instant. Here's what Paul said when the jailer asked. This is a very familiar verse for a lot of the Awana kids. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and your household. So then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others of his house. So not only did this jailer get saved, his whole family was saved. So just look at the steps in just these couple verses of the impact that just Paul's open heart of worship had on everybody here. So this is obviously a few verses later, then they were released. But you see the results of our obedience to God. So you got to remember that the worship isn't about us. Let me find my spot again. God invites us to join him in what he is already doing. Our response is initiated by God, grounded in the reconciling work of Christ and enabled by his Spirit. So the book of John, I don't think I have this one up there, but John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. So when Jesus came and died, rose again, after we accept him as Savior, we gain access to God through Jesus. Worship becomes a matter of the heart and is directed by truth rather than a ceremony. The Bible also says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Our worship of God is directed by our love for him. As we love him, so we worship. If there's no passion for God, there won't likely be any worship. So if we aren't physically doing anything, if we're not in our Bibles, if we're not praying, if we're not, you know, witnessing, that's all worship. That's doing what God wants us to do. What God's will is for us is to spread his word. If we're not doing any of that, how are we supposed to worship? We're not. You know, and like I said, this is something that God brought to me. This is stuff I need work on too. You know, I'm not just going to be up here and, you know, and say words, but this is stuff that I've been working on. So Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So back to Paul. So all through this night in prison, Paul and Silas were listening to the Spirit of God. You know, their worship wasn't something that they just turned off and turned on. It was something they just did because they loved God. So worship isn't turned on or turned off. We always have our attention on something, whether it's God or it could be something else. It could be something that God does not even want us remotely to be. You know, society is awful right now. You know, at least that we don't have to worry, you know, as Gary said, we don't have to really worry about the persecution. Or you said that, didn't you? That was you. Was it? Oh, it was Gary. That was you. Yeah, I got it right. I did remember that one. But this world, this country, in fact, needs a revival. But it needs Christians willing to spend 100% of their time in worship of God praying for opportunities to lead someone to Christ. You know, half an hour seems like a long time, just listen to someone talk. But you know, it was probably the most important thing for that guy at that moment to have someone listen to him. Psalms 29:2 says, "Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness." All of these things take place within the larger context of our spiritual worship. So going back to our passage, Paul uses one example of worship because he was in a constant state of worship. But his worship was used to reach a whole family for Christ. Paul found joy being in the presence of God no matter where he was. So I'm going to look at one more example, and we're probably familiar with this passage too, but it's in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. It's about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you remember this story, King Nebuchadnezzar had an idol set up that at the, you know, I think it was whenever they blew the horn, everybody had to bow down to this idol and worship it. Remember, anybody remember? Obviously, we know what the punishment for this was, right? It was a fiery furnace. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it didn't worry them. They knew God would deliver them no matter what happened in this scenario. And he was there with them in the midst of the fire. So think about times in our lives when we have had a hard decision to make. You know, I've got a book at home called Do Hard Things. I thought it was a cool title. It's like, do we do those hard things, or do we take the easy way out? You know, those three guys could have just said, I don't want to cause a ripple or whatever. When the trumpet blows, I'll just do it just to make him happy and, you know, just to go along with everybody else. And, you know, and that's the problem. We need to be separate from what everybody else is doing. We need to be doing what God wants us to do. See, this world is on a different path. Narrow is the gate that leads to, you know, leads to glory, but wide is the gate that leads to destruction. So we look in Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God who we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. That's boldness, to stand before a king and say, no, I'm not doing it. It's a popular thing, but I'm not doing it. You know, we go back to Paul. What threw him in prison was his boldness to free, you know, to have God free a woman who was captive by a demon. You know, they could have just shut their mouths and moved on. They didn't have to do that. You know, they could just let her keep going, and they just move on and go. And how would that have affected the future? Would that jailer have ever gotten saved? We don't know, but probably not. In obedience, they proclaimed the name of Jesus. But there's a flip side to this. We have an enemy who wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy our testimonies. He wants us to get so far away from God that we just make ourselves happy doing whatever. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking who he may devour or destroy. So be sober and be vigilant. Always be on watch. Always be on guard. And when we go out to restaurants, you know, when I sit down, Laura, where do I normally sit? Facing the door. I'm watching that door. You know, it's not because I'm paranoid, just because I'm being realistic. You know, we've seen a lot of crazy stuff happen. And if something happens there, I want to be ready. I want to be alert and know a plan of action I can take. So 1 Peter 5:8 warns believers to be sober-minded, meaning our mind not being controlled by a dangerous outside force, and alert, because the devil is like a roaring lion, actively looking for someone to consume spiritually. You know, Satan is deceptive. He can make bad things look good. He can do that. You know, I'm sure we have all struggled somewhere in our lives with that. You know, I want to take a guess because we're all sinners. And I'm sure we've all gone through that. But when we're connected 100% with God, you know, what does that look like? You know, what does that mean, being connected 100% with God? That means giving Him our whole heart. It means giving Him everything that you know, the devil could take and use against us. You know, it's not going to be easy. I mean, how many of you figured out that the closer you get to God, the more the devil tries to sneak in there and take a foothold? I mean, I've seen it. James 1, 14 through 16 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own desires and enticed." So what is our desire? Is our desire to do what the world wants us to do? Is our desire to do what God wants? Do hard things. It's not easy in this world to be a Christian. But God never said it would be easy. You know, he said in the Bible, "They will hate you because they hate me." But that heart of worship, you know, the new song we just sang, "Praise the Lord." I won't be quiet. My whole heart is alive, and I'm keeping it inside. I'm going to praise the Lord. That's our life. And we got to get used to it, because we're going to be doing it in heaven for eternity. We're going to be worshiping God for eternity. But just be on the lookout. Just be aware. Be sober. Be vigilant. Our impact on the world, if we keep this in mind, our impact on the world will be the most fruitful it can be. You know, God says, "Don't worry what you will say, because I will give you the words." You know, when I met the guy in Hartville, I didn't really say a whole lot. I mean, I was standing there like, "Okay, God, if you need me to say something, I will." But I didn't need to say much. I you know, some people just want to listen. I want you to listen. But in those times when you probably should say something, just have your heart focused on God and let Him give you the words to say. And like I said before, Paul could have taken that easy way out and just left. Jail cell opens, I'm out of here, I'm gone, I'm free, God freed me. But God used that whole situation to save a family. He saved a girl from slavery, saved a man in prison, saved a man's family, and who knows, those other people in the prison, what happened to them? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but I mean, the impact Paul had because of his worship, because of his boldness, because he honored God with his life, because he worshiped in a prison cell, when I probably would have just been huddled in a fetal position in the corner, hoping to get out. But so I want everybody to stand. So we're gonna close here. So it's probably not 11, so we're good. I wasn't sure how long this was going to take. It's going to take 10 minutes or you're going to have to cancel lunch plans. So we're going to sing a song called The Heart of Worship. So as we sing this, just listen to the words. What is the heart of worship? Where is the heart of worship? If you want to say it as a prayer, you know, sing it as a prayer.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.